Are we on? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2 p.m. We're here for a general discussion in the BCC boardroom. Present are Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. Today, visiting us, we have the Food Farming Organizations Coalition. We're going to introduce everybody. I want you to introduce yourself. I want you to speak very slowly, very clearly. These are the microphones so we can pick it up for the minutes, okay?
And I just need to apologize. I was here long enough to let you guys know, but I've been called to another meeting that I have to attend, so I will not be able to stay for this meeting, but I wanted you guys to. And I had my staff print this out as far as information that was available to me, but I can't stay, so I needed to just extend my apologies that I have.
Okay.
If it gets done quick enough, I'll be back.
Okay. So, thank you. Commissioner Morgan is excused. She has another meeting conflicting. So let's start right around the table. Make sure you speak slowly and clearly so we can get your name on the record.
Okay. Hello, my name is Elise Higley, and I am with representing Our Family Farms. We have over 500 farming members throughout Oregon.
Okay, I just need your name at this
sorry,
point.
Oh, sorry, sorry. This is Our Family Farms, and I'm a farmer.
And where do you live?
Grants Pass.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Shauna Feinberg, I'm part of the coalition, and I live in Williams.
I'm Ray Seidler, a member of the board of Our Family Farms, and I live in Ashland.
Okay.
My name is Sam Einhorn, and I live in Williams.
Cheryl Bruner, I live in Williams, part of the coalition.
My name is Mary Middleton. I'm the director of Oregonians for Safe Farms and Families, and I live in Grants Pass.
Okay. Ricky, did you get all that? Good girl.
I'm Simon Hare, Dozman County Commissioner, liaison to the Community Development Planning Department.
And I'm Dan DeYoung, County Commissioner. So, why are you here today? Who wants to start, Sean?
I'll begin. We can certainly understand how tired you must be of dealing with land use and marijuana use, and how much energy the recent regulations took from you. The coalition is three major stakeholders. It's food farmers, and three of the people here will be speaking specifically a little bit about the impact on food farmers of what we're talking about. And then rural lifestyle residents, which you've heard a lot from regarding the RR regulations. And then also small family marijuana farmers. And this, what's unique, what we're bringing to you is we're bringing to you a very simple request. And what's unique is that it's basically pretty non-controversial. It's not residents versus marijuana farmers. This is a coalition that includes groups that are often on different sides. The goal for us today, and we know we have only a short period of time, is to give you from the three perspectives, rural residents, small family marijuana farmers, and food farmers, why we're asking, what we're asking. And what we're asking is that we've sent to you one proposed regulation as an amendment to the RLDC. And we're asking, we want to be able to convince you how important this is to the county so that we can ask you to adopt an order directing planning to initiate such an application just with this single item. It's one item. And to expedite it through the consideration process. So as you know, if we want to impact the 2018 season of new production, we want to get things through as soon as possible. And once before, months ago, when the Williams CAC was here in front of you, we talked about the idea. It was a bigger ask then. And the issue then of directing planning to submit the amendment was that at that time we were talking about just Williams. But now it's a countywide coalition, and we're not talking about just Williams anymore. And we're talking about one item. So a couple of background things for the item. As you saw in the handout, the Daily Courier's on December 5th, county's green rush is shifting to farmland. And the quote, about 30% of the marijuana property buyers are from out of state. So what we have seen is a threat that is coming wholly from out of state, because the small family farmers, marijuana farmers in Josephine County are outdoor farmers or sun-grown farmers. That's why their organization, OSGG, is purely for out in the, you know, they don't use greenhouses. The greenhouse, well, they might use one or two greenhouses, but the greenhouse complexes, and that's what we're talking about, the scale, what we consider an industrial scale of greenhouse complexes are only being used by the out-of-state entities who aren't growing outdoors at all. What we've seen in Colorado, it has gotten to the point where they have some greenhouses that are one full acre in size and completely mechanized inside. You know, it's machines going on and testing the soil and testing the water and feeding the soil, and 1 acre covered in a greenhouse. And that's the direction that commercial marijuana has gone in some of the states that did it first and didn't know what to protect against or didn't know what to do. That's not a problem per se, you know, it's industrial production. What becomes a problem is in a county like Josephine County, where our farmland isn't necessarily out on the highways between where people live. But for whatever reason, historically, our farmland is down to, like, we have one piece in Williams, which is under 4 acres, and it's completely surrounded by rural residentially zoned properties. So the farmland is not segregated, but it's in the middle of residential areas. So, and the other thing, just in terms of the trend, we have another example of a multi-state entity that just, and I can give examples from Williams just because that's where I live, a multi-state entity that just came in and bought 4 properties in and right around Williams, all farmland. You know, and their reputation is that they're multi-state. They go to different states wherever marijuana has become legalized and buy up farmland and then set up. They haven't set up yet. They bought it kind of near the end of the season last year. But that's the kind of thing that we're looking at. Our research has shown that last year we did a comparison between the impact of 1 full acre of outdoor marijuana, which is how the local people grow in general, and 1 full acre of greenhouses, and the impact was radically different. One example is employees. The employees with the greenhouse complex, were half of the employees were from Medford. They're not even from the county, so that it's not like they're giving jobs, and the economy, the resources are going out of the county. Also, the number of trips per day are 2 to 3 times as much when it's a greenhouse complex. We compared, you know, what we could look at, and they had 2 to 3 times as many trips per day, and that's with 1 license. As you may or may not realize, there's no restriction by OLCC or by the county on the number of different licenses that can be on 1 property. So, for example, if there were just 2 licenses, so that they did 2 full acres of greenhouse complexes, that would be 150 more trips per day. All of the rural residents around there would have 150 cars going by them each day. And that, you know, one would question whether that's, you know, whether that's really a rural lifestyle. The other issue that's happened is with power. One of the experiences of neighbors of the poster child greenhouse complex is that they started having power problems. They weren't getting enough power. The greenhouses were using so much power for the lighting systems because there were 14 greenhouses and 112 fans, so they were using so much power. And when they approached Pacific Power to ask, you know, we need more power, or we need something, Pacific Power said, out in these rural areas, we simply don't have the infrastructure to give you any more power, and we're not planning on that. So again, it's the greenhouse complexes on the farmland that are of concern to residents. I also want to remind you that you did get a petition with 300 signatures from citizens that was asking for some action, again, specifically limiting the scale of industrial level greenhouse complexes. Let's see, just a couple more things. In terms of, I would imagine if the state starts giving some of the tax revenue to the counties that produce more than just the counties that consume, We still have our industrial lands, and our industrial lands are a perfect setting for, you know, over for the complexes, again, if we're talking about a greenhouse complex. So we wouldn't be losing out on the tax revenue because we still have industrial zone lands where they could go.
So prior to the previous board, agriculture production on industrial land was prohibited. We changed that. We changed that to allow ag production on industrial zoned lands, just to afford those kind of high intensity productivity opportunities for industrial land owners. So
you recently changed that?
Within the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yes.
Yep, we broadened the definition of allowable.
That's great. Yeah.
To do ag production where it was prohibited before.
So just one other argument that I hear periodically, we hear is, you know, the argument of you're singling out marijuana from other crops, you know, and what, just because there are some greenhouse complexes for nursery stock up in some of the northern counties. So the two responses that we have to that is, one is that each county has a different nature, you know, and again, we have a generally a rural lifestyle county, but we also have a county where there are tiny pieces of farmland in mostly residential neighborhoods. So each county is unique. The second and main thing is it's not us that's singling out marijuana. It's the state that singled out marijuana. The state specifically said that if the product or the crop is marijuana, then the locality can pass reasonable regulations to regulate that production. So it was the state that singled out marijuana, not us. In terms of the small family marijuana growers, there are two reasons from those that are part of the Concerned Citizens Group that met, you know, how many times the Concerned Citizens?
At least a half a dozen.
At least six, we had at least six meetings, then they had members. My understanding of their support of this, and then I'm going to ask Sam to speak to that also, was one is they also are enjoying their rural lifestyle. I mean, these are just small families who are completely licensed and legally growing marijuana under either the, mostly under the rec system. Some were under the medical, but the rec is where the income come, you know, where they have livelihood from it. They're also interested in preserving their rural lifestyle, but also then there's the income in the recreational market, which is why the big entities are coming in. That type of competition, multi-million dollar entities who can set up, you know, mechanized greenhouses, is competing with local Josephine County residents' incomes, and so the local economy. But do you want to speak, Sam, a little bit more to...
Well, it just speaks to the nature of capitalism and free market, and of course, at some point, larger entities will come in and outcompete the smaller ones. It's just that the local growers never have had an opportunity to transition and get a stakehold in a burgeoning industry. From day one of recreation, large corporations are coming in, the multi-states are coming in and gobbling up large acreage of land. And they're partnered internationally as well. One of the large people in Williams have 100-acre greenhouses in Canada for food production, and their intended model is to replicate that in Josephine County. They've got a few hundred acres already. So they're offering jobs right now, but that will, their goal is to not have any human hands touch the product from start to finish. That's one of their marketing strategies with their food. So they're inundating us with higher use on our roads and infrastructure as well, and outcompeting the small guys, and then they're going to take all the jobs away. They're also, in terms of just consumption of their raw materials, they're bypassing any wholesalers now and just getting tractor trailers from out of state of all their supplies. So the few, Tacube and a couple others in the area, have done a great job of setting up a supply, you know, infrastructure for the local farmers, and they will go under eventually too, because the industry is going into large-scale ordering where the recreational companies don't need to go to a storefront anymore. So it's also not just impacting the local farmers in terms of outcompeting them, but we will lose our source of raw materials in the way things are going too, and then the power consumption, of course. And then, yeah, just the light pollution and whatnot that affects so many other things.
So since I know our time is limited, why don't we move on to the food farmers? Because that's
I'd just like to try to refine the conversation to it. I totally empathize with where you're coming from. I have an ag business degree. I grew up born and raised here. I'm looking for what is it as a law? You reference time, place, and manner to marijuana production. You can talk about the emotional, the lifestyle element. You need to focus on the criteria, put your lawyer hat on and say, what is it that what you're asking for has to be something that is achievable by us on our side of the table. And the ask, you know, it has to be, if you're looking for restricting the size of a greenhouse or the greenhouse complex, it has to be focused on marijuana production. The Oregon Right to Farm and Forest Act is very clear that you can't negatively impact somebody's right to do those things. And we don't have all the money in the world to go fight a legal battle, but we would win one on a time, place, and manner relative to ag marijuana production. So let's address the issues that you have based on the criteria of the laws that are out there for us to refine the rules for marijuana production. Because it's a non-starter on the other stuff as far as, like, you know, mechanized. I don't have a law to go after them and say you will do this based on local labor shortage. And Medford is a regional economy for us. SORED, the economic development agency that represents us, or jointly with Jackson County. So it's we've got to figure out ways of achieving what you want based on the rules we're given.
This is what was going to do. This is what we're asking for. That is the regulation.
This is on the bottom of the courier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That we are asking you to instruct.
Okay.
So the ask, to clarify, is to limit greenhouses to no more than a quarter of an acre. And only on rural residential agricultural land, basically. So one of our biggest resources here in Josephine County is our farmland. I have spoken to so many farmers in the region who have been negatively impacted by some of the marijuana production that has been allowed to come in. And I am here today to speak on their behalf and to ask that we look at reasonable recommendations to try to reserve this precious resource, our farmland. In Josephine County, we have, I don't know the exact percentage of farmland that we have, but we clearly have an abundance here that should be preserved. And
it's actually very limited relative to the 1,642 square miles, 1,050,000 acres. There's very little EFU relative to woodlot resource, commercial forest lands, and other kind of things. Our farmland, which speaks to your issue, but don't say that we have a lot of farmland. It may appear, but statistically, it's actually a very small percentage of the total.
Thank you for
just
helping
to clarify.
Me clarify that.
When you look at a map like that, and you've got the Calamiopsis, and you've got the big rogue, the farmland that actually has a pretty good classification for soil production, it's real small.
So it makes it even more critical.
It does.
That's my point. Yep. That we do need to keep it as a resource and protect it.
You said that there's been farmers existing that have been negatively impacted by marijuana production, either at a small or large scale. Can you give an example of what that is? Because I struggle.
Well, one of the farmers that I know, Steve, big greenhouses were put in right up to the edge of the property.
Right.
Lighting came in, wind machines to clear the air.
Yeah.
All of that mass production came in, and he ended up with headaches, ended up in the hospital, all kinds of physical manifestations of just manifestations of you know, having that blaring light
sure.
and the noise.
But is there an example of a negative agricultural impact?
Well, that affected
okay.
his ability.
His ability, yeah.
To actually farm the land.
Was that on an RR or was that on an EFU, the greenhouses? And what's his zone?
You know,
EFU.
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 All EFU.
Greenhouses are notorious for creating mold and insect problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't manage them well.
Yeah, of course. And so when you have a high concentration of high growth of those problems, and in a rural setting with these fans pulling air out of the greenhouses and just sending bugs and mold spores throughout the air,
sure,
no doubt that's going to have a negative impact on neighboring farming.
I would want to pass it on to Elise.
I'll just piggyback on that, on the food farming comment. So we have a 113-acre farm in Grants Pass, right on the border, next to the Provolt store.
Yeah.
And for us and for a representative for our family farms, representing hundreds of farmers, we definitely feel like we are, a bit of a dying breed as food farmers. And like you said, the agricultural land, EFU land especially, is just so limited. We've had this urban growth boundary has been extended. I mean, more and more ag land is being disappeared. And for us, the biggest thing is that we need to protect what we have. And by allowing this investigation or ruling to pass by limiting the greenhouse, we're really preserving that land, because we're not saying that people can't make a living mechanizing or growing cannabis, or you can grow whatever you want in that limited amount of greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying that when this all turns over, because we all know that, there's waves of industrial,
sure.
Abundance and scarcity, that when somebody, comes up and folds up their shop with their cannabis grow, any other farmer can come into that area and grow. The way it is now, when you're jointing greenhouse to greenhouse and having no border and no restrictions, and you're cementing in that land, that is irreversible. As a farmer, and especially with food farming, we are not going to have the money as food farmers to come in and replace and take all that concrete out, redo everything, put topsoil back in. What's going to happen is the food farmer is just going to move to another area. And so this is what we're kind of losing.
They're not going to purchase that land when it becomes available.
Excuse me?
They're not going to purchase that.
Right, exactly.
So that goes out
so
of
it's
the
not,
food
so it's out of
resources.
Food production.
Well,
right?
For that purpose. But,
mm-hmm.
Nursery is the leading agriculture commodity this year. Mm-hmm. In a second, because cow-calf pair outpaced it this last
mm-hmm.
year, just based on value. That's predominantly started in nurseries or started in greenhouses up in the Willamette Valley. So there's the other argument that it almost would facilitate year-round production, which would maybe make it more cost-effective for people to do food production in an area where otherwise they may not be able to. Because I think most of the productive food production that I've seen in either the Provolt ag area over there, they do it with
hoop houses.
As opposed
uh-huh.
to
mm-hmm.
full-on greenhouses. It allows you to elongate or sometimes shorter.
Yeah, and also it's just more cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're growing, lettuce that's a dollar a head, versus cannabis being anywhere from $2,000 to $500 a pound.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. So, my point is just that whatever happens with this industry, we want to be able to set ourselves up where we're not selling our resources and we're not selling ourselves short. Because we're going to look back, just like hops was huge here, and all different kinds of crops were huge in this county, and now they're not. We don't want to look back and be like, wow, we gave up all our land resources, or majority of it, and now it's cemented over, and we can't come back in and replace that. Not to mention, it's a food security issue, right? We should be looking as a community and wanting to support food farming, because that's what we eat. We don't want to rely on outside food coming in. We should do what we can as a community to preserve that land. And so I think having the limit to the greenhouse is a really good solution. There are very different kinds of greenhouses. I'm happy to invite either one of you or all the commissioners out to do a tour on the greenhouses if you haven't been yet, to see the difference in the kinds. Because greenhouses is so like a hoop house. Is it permanent floor? Is it, we have multiple greenhouses on our acreage, but they're all not cemented in. Because we want to know that eventually it needs to move or whatever, that we can do that. So it's just really different. The kind of buildings that we're talking about are not the kind of buildings you would be putting vegetable production in. So yeah, just happy to be a resource and to take you on some tours.
You made the comment that, that urban growth boundaries are getting bigger and they're eating up EFU. I was on the city council for a number of years, and we expanded, Commissioner Hare was on the county at the time when I was in the city, and we expanded our urban growth boundary, and you just can't go out into farmland and say, we're going to turn that into urban growth boundary. It's very, if that were the case, Grants Pass would go right, wouldn't bother with the Redwood District anymore because it's pretty well used, but they would just be out upper and lower River Road, and they just keep on going, and they can't do that.
Well, there are
They've
limits.
Got the controversy over the River Road Reserve,
yes,
and what you can and can't do with exclusive farmland is a real issue, and you just can't go, oh, we're going to take that. They did that in the Lima Valley up, yeah, up in the Coburg area
Medford,
and whatnot.
They've done it.
And they've done it, and statewide they've realized their mistake. Mm-hmm. So they're really, really, really goosey about saying, okay, we're going to take EFU and that's in inventory and turn it into residential just because.
Right.
So
didn't,
they,
no,
we
not
didn't
just
do
because.
That in the urban growth boundary expansion
no.
that we
oh, no.
just did
nice.
5 years ago. It was
yeah.
the predominant area was H.
Yeah.
So it was listed in the urban growth boundary. Mm-hmm. And I was steadfast from a county perspective saying, city wanted it in, maybe not Commissioner DeYoung, but Councillor DeYoung at the time. But I said, absolutely not. We won't sign it with H in there. You have to go find, you know, the acres someplace else. And
yeah.
so we did.
Well, just like in Medford, like some of our constituents in our organization are in all of the Rogue Valley. And, you know, we've seen farms like Dunbar Farm eaten up all around or,
yes.
you know, so. And
how does, I don't mean to even get off subject here, but how does the wine industry affect you? I mean, I watch out there and by Birdsey Creek and whatnot, there are grape arbors for as far as I can see that all used to be some food farming, some hay farming, cattle agriculture from that standpoint, and livestock, and now it is as far as you can see, it's all grape arbors. But do you consider that okay because it's not greenhouses? Is that
I
safe to
that,
say?
You know, my personal opinion on monocropping is a little bit different, so I won't bring that into it, but I feel that at least that land, someone else can come in and do whatever they want in that land. It's
that's,
not permanent
exactly.
structure.
That's the issue.
It's
right?
not
it's
concrete yeah. over the land.
And I want to point out with the way this is worded, it's specifically saying, we're not just even saying that they can't do a quarter. They cannot do more than a quarter acre of prime farmland, and it's defined here really clearly by the state what prime farmland is, and they have maps of where the prime farmland is. So we're not even saying you can't, you know, do more than a quarter acre of just general farmland. Of what's designated by the state as prime soil. Mm-hmm. That's what we're, that, this is like a compromise bill already, you know, or a compromise regulation. It says specifically no more, basically no more than a quarter of an acre with soils rated as high value farmland as defined by Oregon State or farm, quote, farmland of statewide importance by the NCRS web server.
Where would I find a map of that?
No,
can I get that online?
Online.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think
and then
this might be a good place,
yeah.
based upon what Shauna just said, for me to make my statement.
Sure.
I'm a biologist. I have expertise in soil biology and its relevance, and I know that you relate to that. And I would like to point out that starting February 4th, our Family Farms is offering a major series of seminars on the future of soil. And part of the reason why we would do something like that is entailed in what I'm about to tell you. And my ask is taking a little bit different approach, but I think it's very compatible with what I'm hearing from others. And that is to regulate where the greenhouses would go and keep them off of Class 1 and Class 2 prime agricultural soil. And there are precedents for that kind of activity within Oregon. So I will start by telling you quickly, global population growth is looking at 10 billion people as we approach the middle of this century, 2050. In 33 years, food production has to double. 33 years, food production has to double in order to keep up with that population growth. Now, more than ever, the goal is to keep current farms in the world, including the United States, keep current farms in production. Most states are trying to preserve farm production because of these facts, the facts of needing more food because we have more people. And as I just said, Class 1 and Class 2 prime ag land they've been mapped. We know where those properties are, and we know how to manage them. And I don't understand why we would go about covering up prime land with greenhouses. And here's why. The installation of greenhouses brings in gravel, brings in traffic, brings in asphalt, brings in concrete floors. And as our commissioner here with an agricultural background surely must know, that takes care of, that wipes out, that destroys the natural life that is found in those soils. That's what our upcoming series of lectures, symposium involving scientists and business people from around this country, that's what they're going to tell the public and our farmers in these two counties. It kills that off. And what is the impact? It cuts down on the yield of whatever's being grown in that soil in the future. So as California expands, I have to ask, why are we even here? I hear the vacuum already going south with marijuana production in Oregon. It's heading south. So is that going to leave us with abandoned greenhouses? What are they going to be used for? Well, maybe some farmers will want to come in and replace them and grow. Scientific studies conducted at Penn State University show that when the soil is compressed, the life is killed off. It takes 5 to 10 years for that soil, properly managed soil, to come back into normal production. So when the new farmer comes in, wants to remove the greenhouse to grow a row crop, that row crop is not going to produce naturally at the optimum levels for that farmer for 5 to 10 years if he manages that soil correctly. So I am recommending ordinances that prohibit, as I said, the installation of structures, including greenhouses, that compress the soil. And I recommend they be prohibited on Class 1 and Class 2 ag soils.
Is Class 1 and Class 2, yes. Is that defined prime. Up
yes.
here
yes.
as high-value farmland?
Yes. Yes. That is Class 1 and Class 2.
I think they already have that in place.
I have
with ag buildings.
A handout.
You can't build. It's a confusing. I'm interested to hear how the greenhouses, because these greenhouses have these permanent floors to get their electrical permits. Like, that's the big thing, right? It's not like a greenhouse where, like, we have a propagation greenhouse. It has, you know, the weed control fabric on the ground, and we have electricity in there for heating mats and, you know, for irrigation and stuff, but it is not a cement floor. Where these big grows are, they're doing cement floor because of such intensive electricity and power needed to these things.
The wind and
I don't understand how they're able to actually get the permit to grow them, because we can't get a barn, even though we can't get a permit to build a barn, an ag building, on prime soil. We have to show our soil map to get a permit. So I don't understand how the greenhouses are. I think
so. The
it's
rules
a
are changed for marijuana.
No, I think it's just the word greenhouse gets confusing because they're not. Yeah.
And I think the issue of food security, it just seems like this big, far-off idea, you know, and yet with the population growth and with, I mean, we have seen so many natural disasters in this
There's
country.
There's no criteria for creating a law. So
yeah, exactly.
Let's get, they're not.
Really?
They're not. No. They're not criteria. Local food security is, find me a law right now that is based in part even on local food security. I get where you're coming from. I totally understand it. Twice the production at the current rate of 50% of all food produced is discarded before it's consumed. So if we were more efficient with even the food produced right now, we might do a little bit better.
Absolutely.
So
that's got to be part of the answer.
I understand where you're coming from, 110%.
What are your solutions then?
I'm just thinking like a lawyer that's defensible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
no,
the
saying,
State Nursery Association will fight. I actually think if you cite it based, so you only cite marijuana, the last sentence here, and initially I was totally opposed to this from a standpoint that the Oregon right to farm absolutely precludes this. You can't do it. But,
except for
marijuana.
But the title is marijuana. The whole thing is
I get it. And that's the only reason I'm still entertaining this. And actually, I will totally, I would like to look into this. Beforehand, I wasn't inclined, but now I'm saying no. There is definitely a consideration.
There's a lake to stand on, for
sure. Yes, class
legal
one,
land.
Class two,
legal,
marijuana. We can
protecting
we can
a
do
resource
this.
Is
we can,
But that's beside the point,
that's
what he's saying.
I get where you're coming from, but that's not what we're doing. We can get there, but I'm thinking like a lawyer, because I've been sitting in this chair for 7 years, and I know what will go through LUVA and come back and what won't, and say, yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. With people talking about over there at the marijuana stuff and said, well, this is going to be challenged in court. No, I know what will win and what won't. You look around the state, look around what's going on, know the law. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do this. Mm-hmm. So initially I was not, mm-hmm. we'll have to check into it.
We could do it.
Mm-hmm. No,
but you're
the languaging.
You're giving
us
a nod today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking we might have a chance at something like this.
So, I mean, the languaging has already been edited from.
Yes.
Remember what I said there? The two state departments. I brought this to them.
I know,
and
I had an hour and a half conversation with Josh before we got here. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm dialed in. Josh and I are tight.
He referred it up to the farm and forest specialist from land, state land use. And then I spoke to him directly, Tim Murphy.
Yeah.
And then he gave me some of the language, and then two soil scientists gave us some of the language.
But all the criteria about out of state mechanization, unemployment here,
I agree.
That doesn't hold water for us. But the element of class one and two, you know, primary resource. But the marijuana is the key. If they wanted to do some sort of high intensity other production, we really wouldn't have a label.
I don't even think the rural lifestyle is.
But nobody's doing that down. Very,
right.
very
this is
few
where
people
the
are doing
well,
that.
Well, that's because you can't afford to grow.
It doesn't pencil out if you're not making $400, $500 a pound. So.
And the, I mean, it's probably that awkward thing again where I know with the last thing, because your family owns EFU, you felt that you needed
There's
to.
There's nothing. That was. Other people's opinion. I don't have a nexus on that. The real challenge for me isn't about that or anything else. It's private property rights, and I'm a huge proponent of that. What somebody chooses to do today, how much consideration do I have for what the next owner comes in? My family's owned our property for 60 years, and we're not going to sell it for another 60 years. So you aren't even here who wants to buy my family's property in 60 years. Now, we don't have any desire to do marijuana, high-intensity agriculture production, all of that. Mm-hmm. But private property rights is pretty important to me philosophically.
So it's the prime soil. It's the high-value family. Class 1, Class 2 is high-value.
I can see that. But the nexus is if we can regulate marijuana. And if we can get at some of those other things by the fact that we're given latitude by the legislature to do that. Now, I'm just one commissioner. She isn't here. And based on what she presented to the board prior was the state law based on land use and EFU and right to farm. I'm not sure. I'm not going to speculate where she's coming from. But I think I have a place philosophically where I can come to an agreement on this, class one and two and marijuana focused. So I don't know where you're at.
When 91 passed, and I'm sure there was a bunch of you out there marching up and down with yes on 91 signs.
Because, that's a guess.
Because of the did you not think this was going to happen? I mean, did you figure that your little section of Josephine County and your own private little grow and your own, you know, that your utopia was going to last when this thing came in, this juggernaut came into Southern Oregon?
The writing's been on the wall for a while.
Oh my gosh! I thought, what in the world?
The speed at which it's happening is overwhelming.
Yeah, sure. And one thing that Southern Oregon is prime for growing marijuana. It's always known it. 50 years ago, when the school buses with a stovepipe out the back window came to Southern Oregon and started growing marijuana, it was no deep dark secret. This stuff is really good. And it's been that way ever since. And of course, you say, now I've got to be legitimate. I want a law that says I can do that. So you fought long and hard, all of you collectively.
You're assuming.
You're making an assumption about it.
Maybe you saw the handwriting before the 91 came down. But I thought to myself.
This is the next chapter, Commissioner DeYoung, Chair DeYoung.
Yeah.
Your coal memorandum is in subject of being repeated today. So, you know, California legalizing this issue, cross-state line commerce, and we're chasing our tail almost on this thing. Like what we think is the issue of the day.
Yeah.
What is tomorrow's?
Well, that's what this is looking at.
Well, this is looking at the farmland. The issue is one issue that will always be here is food.
And that's where I'm coming from. And for the public record, I was not one of those carrying a sign. I was publicly opposed as a scientist and for personal reasons.
My mistake.
It's funny if we look back and we say, was it so terrible the way it actually, everybody doing it?
I don't think
It was not an issue for this board.
All of us would have liked to do it.
Sure. I think what this board is that legality is what we're here for.
Right.
You know, what's legal, what the state says is legal, you know, what you propose. Will that fly? That's what we're up against right now.
Well, I think that what's proposed is legal, and it's a good solution to some of the concerns with the food security and preserving farmland. That, like you said, is beside the point. People can have different reasons why we support it or not. But the end result will be, when this is passed, that farmland will be preserved for future food production. And that's, for me, that as a food farmer, that's like the main goal. I want to have farmland for, you know, my grandkids to be farming on, and I want to be able to grow food here, you know, for generations to come.
And I think I wanted timber for my kids to be able to work in the timber industry, and that didn't happen either. Big disappointment here.
But
I worked
food.
At the mill when I was 14 and 15.
But I want to have people to have food.
And the difference...
I understand that. I get the food supply thing. Because I'm a hungry man. I eat all the time. I'm not a farmer. I had to I had to take care of a little garden, a 1-acre garden over down on Bridge Street, because that was all farmland. Now it's all houses.
That's why
I get the whole thing. But however, I don't know how far this proposal here would go legally. I think that's what we need to look at.
I think it has merit to look at, and so the follow-up after this is probably a conversation with Ms. Schmeltzer. She and I can sit down. I would want to have that conversation before bringing it for the full board. There's some stuff, but I think you guys are definitely going to have to weigh in one way or the other eventually. But we have to take a look at this, and from a legal standpoint, we have a new land use attorney in the back there who's been...
Now you're
patiently.
You're asking for what from the board? Do you want us to refer this to the voter? Do you want us to an ordinance states this?
We want you. I think the words
county
that Julie gave me. It's an amendment to the RLDC. We want you to instruct Julie to initiate an application for an RLDC amendment with one item. This item.
I get it. What you're asking. It's the same thing that started out the land use issues that we just. Past.
Yes. It came from you.
Yes.
When you have such pads and such together, they cover more than 0.25 acres on any one tax lot, or cumulatively on adjoining tax lots with any of the same owner. So when you have the guy,
stuff we'll have to look at.
Yeah.
And Julie might want to rewrite this. We've talked.
Well,
about
absolutely. We're not. That's what I'm talking about. The next step is a conversation about.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's a little.
Right.
You know, you got a 20-acre parcel, and you've got the age limit to 1/4 of 1 acre out of 20 acres.
There is
that
precedent
what you're
for this.
Striving
so
for?
There are land use restrictions that transcend tax lots, and it's one of those deals. It's like, is that appropriate? So it's one owner.
The other thing is that they're actually not restricted to only one license. Well, no, that just doesn't.
But you
On prime farmland. That's all on prime farmland.
On prime farmland, and only
1/4 acre gets to ruin the
only
prime
greenhouses.
Farmland.
They can go on prime farmland and grow as many outdoor plants as
absolutely.
They want.
Well, is that
whatever
LLCC
the law
goes.
But the definition is based on the certification of the soil that it meets a criteria.
Right.
So it's not that it's just any farmland. It's a criteria of the farmland specific
prime
to
farmland.
The
that's
food.
What
and I think
and
you said you had a map of that?
It's online.
The
it's
county,
online.
The county
I
has
sort of
map.
Asked that
yeah.
already.
NCRS
yeah.
does
NCRS,
that.
NCRS, exactly.
Very broad. So we evaluated this in the Executive Order 1207, the pilot project. Those initial swaths on those, the lines are 60 feet. And so the margin of error, we were going over that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why
but if somebody wants to do an application, they can get it figured out.
I see an enforcement nightmare there, but that's...
And that's why it's B. They're saying, basically they're saying if it's too general online and they want to object that their particular soil, that they have another way of approaching it. That's what
absolutely.
B is.
And it's all scientifically defined. It is mapped out.
Yep.
And there's precedent for regulating activities on prime, class 1, class 2, throughout the entire
country. You can't build a house. We can't build our house there on that prime.
So from our standpoint, what our options are is to have our staff present or bring back for us our options, both from a legal things that we have to take into consideration, that we have to have that discussion with our legal staff, but also, you know, and what would it take to get that wording and stuff just narrowed and, you know, so.
Yeah. What it would look like.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, Commissioner Hare, as liaison for community development, working on some language, and then for the next thing is working with our legal to make sure we have those, and then they bring it to us, and we determine, okay, where do we go, or we approve an order that would start that process, and then we go through, you know, those things. So we have to make sure we have our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
But the start is here, as you have done, that we can, you know.
Yeah.
And just so you know, even though I wasn't here, I had read this completely before.
I've been trying to get Wally to look at this, you know, for months, so that I would that information would already be here. And Julie looked at it too.
The kicker is they work for us.
It's fine. So yes. So now we realize.
You can say yes. Because initially, you know, historically,
so Wally's been doing a good job.
Hold on.
Political perspectives of boards has changed so dramatically over the four that I've served with that there are some that would say, no, I'm a staunch private property rights. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a middle ground here on this board that we would say, you know what, most of the time, sure, but I think for this one, we can put reasonable restrictions on this commodity for this purpose on these classifications of soils, and we should do that because we have such limited.
Who do you anticipate your pushback from?
I don't anticipate much pushback at all.
From the big people that bought
all
those lands and put them all together.
So that would be maybe yes. If anybody,
I can
see it would have to be an out-of-state entity who already is invested here, because basically what's going to happen is they're going to see that law on the books and they're not going to come here.
Right.
The other thing, I disagree. Actually, I think that you're not going to have any fight back really, but I think actually the way things are moving and the way the industry is moving and the prices are dropping, people are not going to be able to afford to grow in those greenhouses anyways.
Yeah, that's
and they're
going
to go to outdoor grow.
It
and they're
going
to be so thankful that you actually preserve this land, because it's actually going to be valuable. You know, because if you let them cement over in the next few years and then they go back and everyone wants to do outdoor grown, they're all going to be in California or somewhere else, but our land will be cemented over. So
right.
We're actually keeping that commodity. We're just assuming it could be food production, but it could be cannabis production. It could be any outdoor grown
wine, as was mentioned.
Wine,
yeah. I don't think there's going to be a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
All the Josephine County citizens want this.
Ground. I know.
Yeah. I need to excuse myself because we have a board meeting to go to.
I got
to
go
to. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your time.
So we're all set. We've got.
So will we hear anything? Or
you will. Yeah.
We've got our direction. We've got your contact information.
Dr. Sutter, we should give each of them a soil. Let me give you each of the soil. This is something we're putting on about.
Okay. It is 2:47, and I'm turning the mic off. We're adjourned.